In all honesty, there's another part of that that always made me think about it. It's also kind of like his first time interacting with a girl.
Yeah.
That's not his sister. Like, he finally got over the fact that he can't do anything with Leia, because that's just weird and wrong. And then he's like, oh, there's another girl. Of course, she's trying to kill me, but for some odd reason, I find her very intriguing.
This is Alan Dean Foster.
And my name is Beth Revis. I'm the author of Rebel Rising, and welcome to Star Wars Tides.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to another exciting episode of Star Wars Ties. We are celebrating our 50th episode today. Woohoo! I have with me not only my faithful co-host, Mr. Lando Fett himself, but special guests, Caitlin Long, Lando Fett's little sister, and our faithful gaming friend, Mr. Jeremy Baldock. How you guys all doing?
Doing good.
Yeah, doing. We're doing good. Yeah.
The enthusiasm is really in the room, ladies and gentlemen. I can feel it.
It's a Friday.
Yeah.
We've all worked, you know, it's been one of those days where, you know. All right, so what is a Star Wars highlight of the last, let's say, since the new year? Landon.
Oh, let's see. Since the new year. I'm going to say, and this kind of leads into probably what we'll talk about later on in the show, is the new announcements of all the new Star Wars series and movies that are going to be coming out.
Yeah, that's a good one. Yeah. All right, what about you, Jeremy?
Let's see. For me, probably the pinnacle moment that's happened for me in the Star Wars universe since the beginning of the new year is that reveal of Luke Skywalker right at the end of Mandalorian, because I was watching it with a coworker who's another Star Wars fan. Like, we pressed play at the same time and watched through the final episode together, and hearing his reaction as we were sitting in Discord together, it was amazing. Very cool.
Awesome. What about you, Caitlin?
I don't know if it was exactly around the new year, probably with the Mandalorian, just the fact that Boba Fett is alive and back in action, and who knows where that's going to go. I just think that's really exciting, so I want to see more about what's going to happen to him.
Yeah, awesome. I agree. Those are all great highlights. I'd say for me, probably the biggest highlight so far is, specifically to this year, would probably be the announcement for the new stuff coming down the pipe. There's a lot of really cool stuff coming, and it's a lot of fun to think about those possibilities with specifically the Book of Boba. Like, I really want to see where that's going to go. I feel like it's going to be digging into the underworld in a completely new way. And the fact that they were able to sneak it in as a, oh, but it's not a new announcement with the other new announcements. This is something else that's completely new. Here's number 11. Whoops. We kind of snuck that in. I think that was really cool. And it was something I really appreciated from the Star Wars creators. So, I think that was my hit. Ladies and gentlemen, today we are going to be celebrating our 50th episode by bringing in some special guests, as you have already been introduced to, and we are just going to take some time in between series. You know, we just finished up the Winter Hunt, and we're about to start our spring series on Landon, on Landon Long. You know,
thanks.
It's all
that.
About Landon.
That's going to be a real boring series, I'm just going to tell you.
So, Landon, let's hear about your entire biographical life, every minute of every detail.
I was born on a cold January day.
Oh, did it snow? No.
It was very cold. I don't know if it snowed.
You were a little secluded. You weren't sure at the time.
I was a little preoccupied.
But anyway, so we are going to be discussing quite a few different things. But like I said, before the Lando Calrissian focus that we have in our spring series. So we're going to actually discuss and seek out the individual answers of our co-hosts and guests to discover not only, you know, what we think about Star Wars up to date, what we think about Star Wars in the past, what we think about Star Wars in the present, what we think about Star Wars in the future, but also just little bits and pieces of Star Wars trivia or information that might or might not pop up as the conversation goes on. So we hope you'll sit back, relax, and enjoy the ride as we just kind of shoot the breeze and X-wing it here.
All wings report in.
Red 10 standing by.
Red 2 standing by.
Red 11 standing by.
Red 5 standing by.
Lock air spoils in attack position.
But before we get into that full-on discussion, I do want to remind you that one of the best things about this podcast and about podcasting in general is that we love to hear from you guys as listeners. And I am pleased to announce that we actually got an email, Landon.
Oh my gosh.
We did. But before we do that and go into the incoming transmissions segment, I first want to remind everyone that if you want to reach out to us and get in touch with us, you can always do that through email, which we are happy to read the emails that you send us at StarWarsTiesPodcast@gmail.com. Once again, that's StarWarsTiesPodcast@gmail.com. Or what we'd absolutely love is for somebody to give us a call. Our number is 828-331-1873. It takes you straight to voicemail. You don't have to talk to me or Landon, even though you probably want to, and I completely understand. I know we're just the cream of the crop, right, Landon?
Oh, you know it, man.
That's why everybody wants to hear Landon's biography.
That's right.
But anyway, once again, you can call us and leave us a voicemail at 828-331-1873. But let's go ahead and jump into the incoming transmission segment here, and we'll read this email that we just got a couple of days ago.
Admiral, receiving transmission from Skarik.
Transmission received.
Admiral, we have the plans.
All right. And we got an email on February 11th. By the time this episode airs, it'll be like April. But, you know, it works. So it says, "Hello, Stout, Landon, and Rob. It is me again, Zeb. And this is actually a former student of mine. I love your podcast. I cannot wait for more podcast episodes to come. Good news, Zeb. They are coming out down the pipe as we go here. I listen to your podcast whenever I'm doing something or riding my Polaris RZR. When I am playing a game or I have no internet. It's always good to know that we are supplying entertainment when you have no internet." Yes! That's an accomplishment, ladies and gentlemen. "Anyways, love the podcast. I am most excited for the new Ahsoka, Kenobi, and Bad Batch shows that are coming out." Awesome. We are actually going to be discussing some of that today, Zeb, so way to help us get into that material. "Also, Jedi Fallen Order is very good. I have played through it, and it is really fun. I would recommend it to anyone who loves Star Wars or to anyone just getting into the franchise. Also, you get to go to different planets. You also get to fight two Inquisitors. You also get to customize your lightsaber, like the emitter, switch, sleeve, and the material of a lightsaber. And it's also for the different Xboxes. There are the original Xbox, Xbox 360, Xbox One, Xbox One S, Xbox One..." Oh, I guess he's just listing off all of the different Xboxes that there are. Probably in response to something we did in a previous episode. Didn't we complain about how many Xboxes there were?
I think we did at one point, yeah.
Well, he has listed them all for us. So I have the original Xbox. Which of us has had the Xbox 360? Go.
No.
Me. No. All at once.
PlayStation all the way.
PlayStation all the way. Jeremy, you said you had it?
Nope.
Nope. Right.
I had a 360.
You had a 360. All right, one of us had a 360. Landon did. Okay, then we have the Xbox One. Anybody have the Xbox One? I say no. Okay.
Sure.
What about the Xbox One S? Why would they do that? Why would you have the Xbox One and then the Xbox One S and then the Xbox One X and then the Xbox Series X and then the Xbox Series S? All right, so just out of curiosity, after the Xbox 360, has anybody gotten a new Xbox?
I've never actually owned an Xbox.
I have the original, and I highly recommend the original. I would love, like, the C-3PO version. Aren't there a C-3PO R2-D2 version of the 360?
I've seen those before. They're pretty sweet.
Yeah. I would like that, but I don't know what I would play on it. But anyway, so we digress very easily. And that was the end of Zeb's email. So thank you, Zeb, so much for sending this one. Just out of curiosity, I'm not a huge like ATV or motorcycle person. What's a Polaris RZR? Do I need to just Google it?
Yeah. just use your Google.
Just Google it. Okay. Well, while I am Googling that, what do you guys think about Jedi Fallen Order? I know a couple of you have played it, so why don't you guys tell us a little bit about that while we figure out what a Polaris RZR is? I know, Jeremy, you've played it, right?
I haven't actually put that much time into it, and most of what I've seen is through other people playing it.
Mm-hmm.
But I will say that I really enjoyed the storyline that I saw. I think they could have done a little bit of a better job on the puzzles, mostly because they're either dead obvious or impossible. One of the two. Like, there's no real middle ground from what I saw. Like, either it was obvious branch to climb over here, or, like, hey, use this mechanic that only works in this one way, in this one specific spot, this one time, and you're never going to use it again, and we're not going to really explain how it works in the first place. And then you're stuck in an area for an hour and a half trying to figure out what to do.
Okay.
But other than that, it seemed like a fantastic game. The score was great.
Yeah, I mean, it's gotten a lot of
great reviews. Which is definitely something
I
judge games on.
Everybody I've talked to that has played it has done nothing but rave about it. Now, Landon, you've played it, right?
I have played it. It's, some of the puzzles are kind of, they're wonky. Like, they were either, like I said, just too easy or so difficult. Like, you have to go online and look up a, how do you solve the puzzle at this place kind of deal. But the story is really, really good. I really like the main character. His name is Cal Kestis, and he's a pretty cool character. He's a survivor of Order 66, and it's kind of him dealing with his survivor's guilt.
Okay. Now, the question is, does he survive all the way to, say, like, A New Hope? Like, is he a Jedi that's theoretically around during the original trilogy era, and we just don't know about it?
Theoretically, he is. Theoretically.
Because apparently Ahsoka is,
mm-hmm.
and Kanan, so, or not Kanan, but Ezra. So, just saying, all of a sudden, the only Jedi being Luke Skywalker is not the only Jedi.
It leaves it open-ended for you at the end of the game, I will say that much.
Okay, cool. Well?
And it also sheds a little bit more light on the Sisters of Dathomir.
Hmm.
That was my favorite part of it, was Dathomir, because it talks a lot about the history of the sisters and all the tribes on Dathomir and how they kind of fell under the influence of this one Jedi who led them astray, and he basically slaughtered all but one of the Night Sisters. And it's a really cool story about that, too.
Oh, wow. That's kind of dark. I like that. Creepy, but interesting. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
And let's see, that's for what systems? Just out of curiosity. What do you play it on, PS4 or PC?
That's what I played it on, was PS4.
PS4. Okay. And Caitlin, you said you're a PlayStation person all the way, apparently.
Oh, yeah, all the way.
All the way. What about Nintendo?
Well, okay, you know, I mean, Nintendo Switch, also 100% all the way. That's all I got, really. It's just PlayStation, Nintendo.
I'm still working on the original Xbox, the Nintendo GameCube, and the Nintendo Wii. So, y'all are all far ahead of me when it comes to technology in terms of ability to game. But I will say this, I am very much interested in getting a newer system exclusively for the Star Wars games. And since, you know, I have a former student and a few of my co-hosts and guests here, plus people that are not even associated with this podcast, that are all telling me I need to play Jedi Fallen Order and Star Wars Squadrons, I suppose I probably need to figure out how that's going to happen. Might just have to, you know, I don't know.
You could always play on the PC.
Yeah, you don't know my PC.
No.
It's all right, Jameson. I'll have you over to my house one of these days.
I might have to. Just come down to me. Jeremy, can I come over and play? Please. They have to be like, honey, can I please go down to Jeremy's? I really want to play. Pawn the kids off so we can actually do some real gaming.
Just bring them with you.
Just bring them with me. All right, go play. Don't come to Starbucks. We're killing, you know, stormtroopers in here. Not for kids.
Doing adult things.
Yes, that's adult things. All right, we're going to go use a fake lightsaber and stuff. I do want to try some of the VR games, though. Has anybody had any experience with the VR games?
I have a friend who owns a, or there's actually a couple of them that own a VR headset, but I watched him one day. He streamed it on Discord. He played through, oh God, what was that? It was one of the original, like, Star Wars games that came out for VR, where you just got to hold the lightsaber and swing at stuff. And it was just looked really cool. Like, I'd love to play it, but dropping a few $100 to get a VR setup with the lack of space I have just doesn't sound worth it.
Yeah, that's kind of how I've always thought about it. It seems if I don't have enough interest or money to buy a system that's a little bit, then to go big would be kind of pointless, especially if it's only for one game. I think that's been the biggest reason I've not wanted to jump on it, because if I'm only doing this for one game, is it really worth it? The answer for Star Wars is probably yes, but, you know, proving that to anybody else that makes money in this house is probably not going to fight very well. So, anyway, enjoy not having to, like, you know, share the weight of financial responsibility as long as you can, Caitlin.
I will.
You will, yeah.
So. Yeah.
Not that, you know, that's not fun, but, you know, it makes it a little bit harder to argue, oh, you know, I really want to go buy this. Oh, you do you?
Well, usually my boyfriend, we're like, he'll be like, I want to buy this. And I'm like, yeah, go get it, because it's like some sort of PlayStation game or something. So we both benefit.
Oh, well, see, that's fine. And then, all right, sounds like you've got a good pick.
Yeah, you know.
How big of a Star Wars fan is he?
I would say he's using hand gestures right now to try to tell me. Moderate? Is that what you're telling me? He's saying yes.
Well, bring him on. I don't care. Let's have another guest.
I've tried to get him to. Oh. He's too shy.
Oh, okay.
He literally went, thanks.
Well, I tried to get Afton on tonight, too, and she was like, no. She's just like,
aww.
I was like, really? Oh, come on. It would be fun. I said, you don't even have to do the skit or anything. We could just, you know, talk Star Wars. And she's like, no. She said, now, if you decide to do WandaVision, maybe.
Ooh, a lot of people tell me to watch that.
You haven't watched it yet?
Not yet. Well, I'm saving it. I'm saving it for a rainy day.
Well, I haven't seen today's episode, but I'm itching to watch it. The past six have been awesome. Anyway, I got to watch one of them with Jeremy.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was good. All right, guys. So let's get back to Star Wars instead of WandaVision. Thank you again, Zeb, for your email. We really appreciate it. That was a lot of fun. It also gave us an opportunity to kind of jump into some new material. So first question of the night. If you had to pick one thing out of, let's say, let's do pre-Disney Star Wars. This can be books, it can be games, it can be movies. Or television shows, though I don't think any of us are old enough to actually remember any of the television shows associated with Star Wars from pre-Disney. Except for, Clone Wars.
Okay. Clone Wars.
But Clone Wars bleeds over into Disney, so is that really pre-new canon? How's that? That way Clone Wars is an exception. Okay, pre-new canon. So anything of the old canon only, like officially old canon material. What is your all-time favorite? And I will start, that way none of you are put on the spot. Okay? My all-time favorite, still to this date, is the Han Solo trilogy by A.C. Crispin. I will stand by, you know, the Thrawn trilogy. I'll stand by Shadows of the Empire. There are some really great books. I love the movies, of course. Those are, you know, essential for everything to function. But every time I think about the old canon, anytime I think about something pre-Disney that my heart just wells up in joy with, it's the original Han Solo trilogy. That's always what I go back to. That's like my Star Wars comfort from old canon. So, what about you, Jeremy?
My favorite pre-new canon thing would have to be the game Star Wars Episode I Racer, pod racing game that came out.
Yeah!
Many hours spent attempting to destroy one of my engines and attempt to finish the race on the other one.
Yes.
For no good reason.
I love that game. That is like the one game that makes me really wish I still had my Nintendo 64. I just want that game back.
They've re-released it, didn't they?
Didn't they re-release it for the DS?
I think it came out in a virtual console at some point as well. If not just a re-release on the DS, it was probably like Wii or Wii U virtual console. But yeah, good memories playing that game.
Yeah, definitely. That's a great selection. I mean, it was fun to just like, you even got to kind of customize your pod racers a little bit, didn't you? Wasn't there a shop in it where you could swap out parts and make it a little bit better, juice up some of the speed?
Yeah, if you played the campaign, you could literally go along and continue to upgrade your pod racer to kind of make it whatever you wanted to make it for whatever specific race. And they included races from almost like every canon world at the time.
Yeah.
So you got to like race through the film sets essentially. And the graphics were great for the time period too.
Yeah, the 64-bit was
just a
was great.
Good game all around.
It was. It was a fantastic game. Reminds me of F-Zero if you're a Nintendo person, but with Star Wars. And I mean, it was great. I honestly think it was probably one of the best games to come out of that era.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, and it's, you know, everybody kids about Phantom Menace, whether or not they think it's the best or the worst movie kind of thing, but there were some really great stuff that came out of the Phantom Menace. And that pod racing scene and the whole thing with the, you know, the game and all the stuff that came out of it is definitely another perk. Good answer. Yeah.
Oh yeah.
All right, what about you, Landon?
Oh gosh, that one's hard to beat, because that was one of those games that we would play for like 4 and 5 hours at a time and not realize all that time had went by.
It was a good multiplayer game too. I mean,
The
N64 allowed up to 4 multiplayers, didn't it? You had 4 inputs for your controllers. So you could have 4, and I don't remember, could you hook 2 N64s together?
I don't think you could.
I don't remember if you could. I know you could with some Nintendo systems. At least I think you could. Maybe I dreamed that and made it up.
I just know that we talked a lot of trash as kids playing game.
Yeah. And in the arcade too. Do you remember the arcade version where you sit in the pod? Did y'all ever play the arcade version?
I did.
Yeah.
Yeah, that blue pod, the Anakin Skywalker pod, with the big screen. Oh, man, if I could have one of those, I would pay for it, too. I'd totally buy that just to have. All right, anyway, Landon, back to you.
All right, so favorite before Disney canon Star Wars thing, I am going to have to go with the Thrawn trilogy of books by Timothy Zahn.
I knew you were going to go with that.
I mean, meeting the guy and telling him that to his face was kind of a big deal, too.
I'm sure had definitely an impact, yeah.
But yeah, that just the story and the fact that you're introduced to Thrawn in these books, and the old canon Thrawn is just, you know, they based a lot of the new canon Thrawn off of him, and I like that.
Mm-hmm. They really did. They've done everything they can to make the new canon Thrawn as much like the old one as possible, and it's still my hope that they're going to attempt to bring as much of that original Thrawn trilogy into canon as possible.
Yeah.
And I'm so hoping that that's actually what happens, because you're right, it's a great story. Listeners, if you haven't read it, we highly recommend it. There's 3 books, and then there's actually a duology that's a sequel to the trilogy called The Hand of Thrawn, and it kind of follows, you know, Thrawn had a contingency plan if things didn't go according to his original plan, which just shows his amazing abilities in terms of strategy in a lot of different ways. But you had Heir to the Empire, which is the first one, The Dark Force Rising, which is the second, and the third one was The Last Stand? Is it The Last Stand? Yes.
I think so. Yeah.
Yes, it's The Last Stand. I actually, my sister-in-law and her boyfriend, he was like, I want to get back into Star Wars books. Which one should I read? And I sent him the first Thrawn. I was like, here's Heir to the Empire. Here's my personal copy. You can borrow it and send it back whenever you're done. But read this. You want good Star Wars reading? Read this. What is probably your favorite part of that trilogy?
Oh, I think my favorite part of that trilogy, had to go back and think about it, is the fact that pretty much Thrawn like had a counter for everything that the New Republic or the Republic was trying to throw at him.
Mm-hmm.
They're like, oh, well, we'll head him off at this planet. Oh, wait, he's got the Katana fleet now. We can't do anything to him.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
That and the Mara Jade and Luke Skywalker interactions, because, you know, it's like Luke's kind of first interaction with a non-Jedi Force user besides Darth Vader and Palpatine.
In all honesty, there's another part of that always made me think about it. It's also kind of like his first time interacting with a girl.
Yeah.
That's not his sister. Like, he finally got over the fact that he can't do anything with Leia, because that's just weird and wrong. And then he's like, oh, there's another girl. Of course, she's trying to kill me, but for some odd reason, I find her very intriguing. But yeah, I agree. I also liked Talon Card. I thought he was a very interesting character. He was the smuggler that kind of played both sides. He was definitely showing how you could play both ends of the, or both enemies, you know, the good guys and the bad guys. And I thought that was a really interesting play on things as the books went on.
And he took one of his ship's name, the Wild Card. I mean, that's the ultimate dad joke right there.
I know. Yeah, you're right. I mean, it's just, Zahn did such a great job incorporating so many different characters and what they could do in that trilogy, and made all of them develop and progress. So listeners, we really recommend that. Some point, we'll probably end up having to do just a Thrawn deep dive and do books, I guess, because that's really the best way to do it. Most of the Thrawn stuff is books. There is a comic adaptation of the original Thrawn book, but that's it, which I've not read, but I hear it's very good. All right, Caitlin, you're up.
Okay. I don't want to say A New Hope is my favorite, because I feel like I'm that typical Star Wars nerd, but I don't know. A New Hope is sort of like your comfort food. It's the thing that you can turn on all the time and just be happy because you know all the words to it. So I'd have to say A New Hope. That was really the first thing I was exposed to was Star Wars.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what me and my dad would watch together whenever I was little. So gotta go with that just for sentimental value.
All right. Now, what is it? The VHS original, or were you watching the special edition?
Oh, which... yeah, no, we're not that cool. We're like the TNT on TV takeover. I did not realize that the final scene was edited, because I was like, wow, they got the guy that's in the prequels. And my dad's like, that's the new version. And I'm like, oh, so took me a while.
That's true. Very true. That's awesome, though. That's cool. All right. Well, good choice. Very good choice. Okay, now we have to talk about Star Wars present. So now, I think I know the answer for most of us here, but we're going to go with it anyway. So now we're talking anything since the Disney acquisition, and we'll include Clone Wars. So, favorite movie, show, book since the Disney acquisition in, gosh, was it 2006 or 16? It was 2016.
Yeah, I think that's right.
2015. I think it was 2000. Anyway, so early mid 2000s, somewhere in the mid teens. So, all right. Let's see. I gotta think. This is hard for me because I want it to be The Mandalorian. Like, the right now it's The Mandalorian. Like, yeah, I'm so pumped about The Mandalorian and everything that's come out. But in all honesty, probably the new Star Wars that really excited me the most was Star Wars Rebels. I, for some odd reason, I have a real fond connection with the four seasons of Star Wars Rebels. There was a good emotional connection. The characters were really interesting and intriguing. It brought in so much about, like, you know, that element of the classic Rebel time period, and the fact that it was able to incorporate elements of Rogue One without overstepping the bounds of Rogue One made it even better. Because when Rogue One came out, they were able to kind of be like, oh, well, you know, we'll include a little bit of that in our TV show, because we still had a season or two of Rebels after Rogue One came out. And Rogue One is definitely another favorite of mine associated with the new canon. But I'm going to go with Star Wars Rebels, at least for today. And that also opens up the door for you guys to discuss, you know, something else. So let's do Jeremy first this time.
Hey, mine is hands down Rogue One.
Ah.
It was the first film for me that made Darth Vader seem really scary. Because even in the original trilogy, like, he has that ominous presence about him. But that was one of the first times, that last scene, where it was like, oh, no, yeah, no, he is that scary. He is, like, the most terrifying thing in the galaxy right now. You know, the weight of that scene was impressive, to say the least. And beyond that, I think it was kind of the boost the series needed at the time, because if I remember correctly, that was after the first episode of the new trilogy came out and had kind of mixed reviews, especially among Star Wars fans. So, and I know Rogue One ended up the same way, but I feel like Rogue One really kind of stood out in an era where people were getting a bit less happy the way Star Wars was going.
I don't know very many fans that don't like Rogue One. I really don't. I can't think of a single person I've spoken to that doesn't have a fond appreciation for that movie or a love for it, like what you're talking about. And I think the only complaint I've ever heard is that they made so many changes from, like, some of the trailer things that looked cool. You know, like Krennic walking through the water with the Death Troopers. Or the Jyn facing off the TIE Fighter on the spire at the top of the communications tower. Those were, like, the two or three times where, you know, they showed it, the scene in the trailers, but they didn't appear in the movie. And it was like, oh, you know, why didn't you include that? That looked so cool. But at the same time, I look back at the movie and go, I wouldn't change it now. You know, everything about that movie was just spectacularly done. The writing. I just watched it the other day. I was telling Jeremy about, or not Jeremy, excuse me. I probably told you too, Jeremy. But I was telling Landon about it. I just got done watching it probably a couple weeks ago. And it still is just awesome. The score, the filmography, the everything. I mean, I can't think of a single thing that I can complain about when it comes to that movie. Good choice. Anybody else want to say something?
Y'all have hit on the best points of Rogue One. I mean, the fact that it does kind of reestablish Vader as this, you know, this force in the galaxy that, you know, in the other older movies you see and hear, oh, Darth Vader, he's so big and bad, he's so terrible, but you don't really get to see it firsthand. Whereas in Rogue One, when he comes in and the lights go out and then that red lightsaber turns on, and like, I know when we went and saw it, everybody was just like, oh my gosh.
Yeah. That was, is that the one we saw together?
I think that was one we went and saw together.
I think that's
the
one all four of us went and saw together.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's right. Oh, yeah. That's another fondness right there. Oh, man. That scene, it's like a horror movie that you don't want to watch, but you want to watch. You know what's about to happen, and you're like, I can't watch this, but I have to. It's so good.
Then they all die.
And then they all die. Red lightsaber slashing. Ah, all right. Yep, good call. All right, Landon, let's do you next.
Oh, gosh. Probably of the new stuff for me besides Mandalorian.
Well, you can pick Mandalorian. It's okay.
Oh, but...
But Caitlin might fight you for it.
I'm picking the Mandalorian.
Okay, well, I'll let you have it. I'll be a good sibling and let you have it.
He's the good big brother.
I would say the last season of the Clone Wars is probably one of my favorite things.
Yeah. All right, what's your favorite story arc in that one?
Oh, I love the Bad Batch arc where they're going to... I can never remember his name. Is it Fives that they're going to rescue?
Was it Fives?
I can't remember.
Or...
I can't remember if it's Fives
Echo. It was Echo.
Well, they're going to rescue Echo from the... Techno Union guys is what I always called them because they were just so like technological looking and machine looking.
Mm-hmm.
And I liked that. I liked kind of the subtle nod, you know, that, you know, when Anakin's in the room talking to Padme and Rex is trying to cover for him and Obi-Wan kind of gives him a look like he knows what's going on. And, you know, just little things like that. I really liked that. I don't know if you saw the Easter egg that they put on one of the ships during that season, but it was like, you know, the pinup bomber girls that they used to put on bombers back in World War II.
Yeah.
They did that with Padme on one of the Republic ships.
What? No, I don't remember that.
So I saw that somewhere. They said, it's one of the scenes, if you zoom in and look, it's Padme laid out and it says it's bad to be good or something like that, or too good to be bad or something like that. That's what it says on it.
Now, I wonder which Padme it is. Is it like Padme from Attack of the Clones? Where, you know,
it is that one. Yeah, it's that one. And she's got like the little silver blaster, like up, holding it up, looking at it.
That's awesome. Now I want to go watch the whole season again, see if I can find that.
But yeah, that last season of that and the wrap up of what happened on Mandalore, which kind of leads into the Mandalorian now, in hindsight, is really good.
Yeah, that was great. Yeah, excellent choice. I didn't even think about season 7 of Clone Wars, but yeah, like it wasn't good, just didn't dawn on me that was. Oh.
And then the end of that ties into Rebels with, you know, Vader finding Ahsoka's lightsabers on the crash site and, you know, kind of resigning himself that, you know, the only good part of his past is gone now.
Mm-hmm. Which sets the whole, like, spoilers for those of you that haven't watched Rebels Season 2, but the whole fight at the end of Season 2 in Rebels to be all that more powerful, you know?
Yeah.
Oh, that's a tearjerker. There are some really good tearjerker moments in animation with Star Wars. I think it is safe to say that Clone Wars and Rebels, I can't attest to Resistance very well because I haven't watched it in its entirety. I've seen all of Season 1. I've started Season 2, but I never finished it. But just a lot of good tearjerker moments, moments that really pull on those emotional heartstrings.
You know, I think that Disney has done a good job of proving that an episodic medium might actually be the superior storytelling method for a lot of their upcoming content, not just Star Wars related, but I think that both The Mandalorian and more recently, you know, WandaVision going on right now, you have so much more time to develop the characters. I feel way more attached to The Mandalorian than I have to most other Star Wars characters that haven't been in, you know, a significant number of the movies.
That's a valid point. I would argue that if we look at like how Star Wars was done in the original trilogy, if you think about the plot, in all honesty, not a lot happens plot-wise over the course of the trilogy. You have the destruction of the first Death Star, and you have, of course, the introduction of all the characters, go find the princess, rescue the princess, and then destroy the Death Star. Second episode, be found by the Empire, scatters everybody, Luke trains, and then goes and saves Leia and Han. And that's the whole plot of the second one. And then the third one, rescue Han and then destroy the second Death Star. If you think about it, and I mean, again, I certainly don't want to go into bashing, like, you know, the sequel trilogy and stuff like that. The amount of things that happen in the original trilogy are almost equal to the amount of things that happened in The Rise of Skywalker alone. Does that make sense? Like the amount of events. So going back to Jeremy's comment about how episodic television might be the way to do this, if you think about it, because fewer events occurred in the original trilogy, there was a lot more time to focus on character development and introduction of scenery and allowed for those emotional things that we so attach to. Whereas in a lot of the movies that Star Wars has done recently, you haven't gotten that time. You know, you haven't had that development, but they are, as Jeremy has pointed out, successfully doing it in other mediums, which might just mean that perhaps that should be the direction that Star Wars goes for a while. I don't know. I don't think they will, but it does pose the question, I would say. What about y'all? What do you think about that?
I agree. I think The Mandalorian has been the best thing for Star Wars as far as a storytelling device. You know, it gets you interested. You know, it can leave you on a cliffhanger and have you, you know, talking about it. I know at work we talked about it like all week, like coming up with theories and ideas. Of, oh, my gosh, what's going to happen next? What do you think he's going to do here? You know, well, you know, remember back in the last episode, they said this. So this is what's going to have to happen. I don't know. It seems like it engages you more.
Mm-hmm. It allows for more. I mean, of course, we all want things to happen the way we want them to happen. And when they when it doesn't, you always have haters. That's just how it works. But it sets the stage for more conversation. And speaking of The Mandalorian, Caitlin, what is your favorite thing from new Star Wars?
Well, it's The Mandalorian. Baby Yoda memes are definitely a thing, and they will always be a thing to me. Grogu, there's little tiny things I don't like. His name is Baby Yoda, not Grogu. But anyway, like, I had this whole conversation with my third graders online during a Google Meet. That's how we would start our mornings. Like, did you guys see the new Mandalorian? I sure did. What is with this Grogu? And I was like, I know. I have no idea.
Pause. I just have to say, I'm thrilled that you are able to have this kind of a conversation with your third graders. Way to go.
I mean, they're like 8 and 9 years old.
I'm glad they're willing to talk to you. I can't get my 8th graders to come out of their shells.
Well, you know, 8th graders, they can be, you know, they're going through a lot. 8-year-olds, I'll tell you about what I ate for lunch today, even though I was there. So, you know, age difference.
That's true.
Yeah. But Mandalorian, hands down, new stuff was going on. I don't want to say Galaxy's Edge, like the park, because I've never been to it. That's sort of like the dream that I want to that's the dream. That's the goal. That's what I'm looking forward to.
Yeah. So I want to go. Like I was, we were supposed to go back in April of last year, and of course that got shot down thanks to COVID-19, stupid coronavirus. But I mean, I was going to build a lightsaber and everything. I had it planned.
Yes.
I was ready to go, and then I just got shot down. But anyway, we'll go again sometime in the future, maybe. All right. So Mandalorian. Let's talk about the Mandalorian here for a minute with some extra input here. Of season one, so now we're restricting it to just season one. What is your highlight from season one? And Caitlin, since you've already kind of started the conversation, let's start with you.
Okay. One scene just comes in my brain. I don't know why. It's the scene wherever he's actually getting Grogu.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know why. I mean, that's probably like the first episode, I think.
Mm-hmm.
But
it is.
Just the way that they shot it was amazing. Yeah, I just remember watching it and thinking that looks so neat. How did they do that?
Yeah, awesome. Yeah, you're right. That was a really cool scene. What about you, Jeremy?
I think my favorite part of the first season was when. Oh wait, no, did that happen in the second season? I'm getting everything mixed up right now. Yeah, no, that was beginning of season two. Okay, hold on, let me recalibrate here. I'm glad I didn't say anything because I would have been in the wrong place.
Sorry, you can save that one for season two.
Yeah, I could. I will because it's a good scene. Oh, I don't know. I feel like season one was kind of slow, and season two picked up a lot for me.
Mm-hmm.
But I think it's really just the scenes with the other Mandalorians where it showed. Like how strict he was about the way he did things and really helped develop the Mandalorian as the character that he is, because season two got to break that down. And that was like a huge character shift. So I just love the fact that they built him up in that way in season one.
That's a good point. And that definitely sets the stage for an interesting discussion about how season two changed it. Good deal. What about you, Landon?
Oh, season one. I think, my favorite episode of season one, or favorite part of season one, was the whole episode where they go to the farming planet and they help the farmers take the walkers down, or the walker down. I thought that was probably really cool because it reminded me of some of the old like samurai films where like the professional samurai went to the village of farmers who were being picked on by the warlord, and he showed them how to fight back, and then they have this big, huge battle, and, you know, the good guys win in the end, and everything's, you know, all hunky-dory. So yeah. I think that was probably one of my favorite ones, and the fact that, you know, he could have taken the easy way out and settled down there and led a peaceful life but didn't was I thought that was kind of a cool, you know, reflection of his character too.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I agree. That was a good episode, and it reminded me also of a Clone Wars episode, because there was a similar one in Clone Wars where Anakin and Obi-Wan did that against, I want to say it was Hondo Onaka, where Anakin agreed to train like local farmers or something, and it gave me a good hearkening back to that, which was good. If I had to pick a season one favorite moment, just one moment, I would say I had a couple that flew through my head, but probably it would be the shootout scene where the Mandalorians show up. And I want to say it's the third episode where Mando, you know, goes back in, gets the child, and then leaves. And as he's trying to leave, you know, Carl Weathers is there going, you know, "You're not leaving." And he's like, "Yeah, I am." And he starts trying to shoot his way out. And then the Mandalorians like all join the fight. And that was pretty awesome. I mean, that was a really epic moment, and it so set the stage for some of the stuff that was coming towards the end, where you had, of course, the introduction of Moff Gideon and stuff like that, and the shootout in the bar where Carl Weathers is on Mando's side. So, I mean, it showed a big shift in characters from that moment to the last moment, and that was cool. I really enjoyed that scene. That definitely, again, just showed so much of the culture of the Mandalorians that we've seen bits and pieces of in Clone Wars, we knew about a little bit from Rebels, but now we were really getting that discipline, as Jeremy pointed out. So that would be my favorite from season one. What about season two? All right, so Jeremy, since you already had something for season two, we'll start with you.
Hey, so what I was going to say is a scene, I think it's like even episode 2 of season 2, where he's met up with the sheriff who's got the armor and he wants it, so he agrees to go and fight the giant
sandworm. Dragon. Yes.
Yeah. And the amount of thought that he puts into taking this thing down, like, it's not the typical, like, I'm an action hero, I'm going to run in and go pew pew a couple times and everything will work out. Like, there's some serious strategy that goes on into killing this thing, and he's completely successful. You know, it just goes to show that he's not a character that's not thinking about situations. I don't think anybody thought that at that point, but it really accentuated that for me. It's like, he can take down something that nobody else before him has been able to do because he's just that strategic about how he's going to go about doing what he's going to
do. That's a really good point. And yeah, that was such an awesome... That was 2 episodes, wasn't it? Or was that just 1?
I think it went across 2 episodes. I think they got to the sand dunes and started setting up in 1 episode, and then the next episode was basically all just that fight.
Maybe, yeah. It was... That, you're right. That with the Kyrate Dragon, oh my gosh, that was fantastic. It was so cool to see, like, an actual Kyrate Dragon alive. You know, we've seen the bones of it ever since the original Star Wars, so it was kind of cool to see the real deal, you know? That was cool. And you're right, it definitely showed his more contemplative and thinking side as time went on. Mm-hmm. And, of course, it allowed us to see Boba Fett in his earliest... his earliest official cameo, wasn't that? Yeah, because that was the first time we actually saw that it was Temuera Morrison. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I think it was the end of the episode after they had taken everything down and he was headed back. Boba Fett showed up trying to find his armor, which the Mandalorian now had.
Yep. Yeah. Let's see. I would agree. That was good. I'm going to go ahead and put mine in there. I think my favorite moment from the second season... there's so many good ones. There's so much good in that series and in that particular show. I'm going to go with the episode where Boba Fett and Mando face off. I'm here for my armor. Your armor. My armor. That whole scene, especially when he brings the sniper back from the dead or whatever. Obviously, he shouldn't come back from the dead, but he, like, recruits or whatever. Yeah, that was that whole interaction and fight and then turn around where they team up and start going against the Empire. That's my favorite. That's a highlight. What about you, Caitlin?
I was sitting here thinking about it, and the only thing I could think of was whenever the Mandalorian agrees to take the frog lady to... that's her name. If you look it up on Wikipedia, it says the frog lady.
That's the technical term.
He agrees to take the frog lady to meet her husband, and Baby Yoda keeps, like, eating her eggs, and, that's the only chance they have for kids. But I just really like the story of that, because, I mean, like, they crash, they meet, like, these weird Arctic spiders, they're fighting them off, the Republic eventually, like, comes, like, 2 guys in X-Wings come and, like, help them out, and you would never have thought that they would help them out. I just like that whole story, that whole part of it.
That was good. You're right. That was funny. And it was hilarious. Stop eating those. Yeah. All right, Landon, you're up.
Oh, let's see. Season 2. There's a lot to like. You know, the very end of season 2, of course, is really high in my book.
Oh, yeah. I was going to leave that for somebody.
Well, you know what? I'll take that. I'll take the end of season 2, just the coordination between everybody that he's come across in season 2 working together. I really like that. I like the fact that he just beats the snot out of Moff Gideon there toward the end.
Yes.
And the look on his face when you see, like, all the dark troopers just kind of getting destroyed, like, everybody's like, well, what's going on? What is that? And you know, Moff Gideon has this look on his face like, oh no, I'm dead. Because he knows exactly who it is.
Yeah.
That, and then, you know, spoilers, when it's Luke Skywalker, like, I let out an audible cheer when he showed up.
We all did, man.
Oh, my gosh, it's Luke Skywalker. I thought he was dead. But that's future Luke. That's not this Luke.
Yeah, exactly. It was a very similar, you know, the pairing with the lightsaber to the Darth Vader scene that we talked about with Rogue One.
Yes.
That was just it with the that is like the total geek out moment right there.
Yes, it is.
Without question. Yeah, that's awesome. Very good choice. A couple of Easter egg-like things in Season 2 really stuck out to me, too. So you mentioned the Frog Lady episode, Caitlin, and, like, the spiders, the creepy winter Arctic spiders.
Yes.
Are very similar to some of the original characters that were incorporated in Dagobah. That was supposed to be a character on Dagobah, a spider like that.
Oh, that's neat.
And in addition to that, you also see similar spiders, I believe, in Rebels on Chopper Base. Am I right, Landon?
I think you. It's been so long since I've seen Rebels, but I want to say you're right.
I haven't seen that episode yet. We just finished Season 1 with the girls, like, yesterday or the day before. But and that's, like, Season 3. But yeah, I want to say that those spiders... So, but the original, I think it was a Ralph McQuarrie artwork that had... Those spiders that would, when they died, they became the trees that you see on Dagobah with the really long, spindly legs that stick into the water.
Oh.
I think that was originally supposed to be what they were, and they repurposed them into being the spiders in Rebels and then the Arctic spiders in Mandalorian. So that was a really cool Easter egg, and it was really cool to finally see that come to reality or come to fruition, because that was such a neat creature that I don't think ever really got any screen time in the originals at all. It was just an idea that was kind of dropped onto the chopping block. Another Easter egg that kind of popped in my mind with the new Mandalorian stuff is the Dark Troopers themselves.
I mean, we're
talking like expanded universe material from classic video games and some of the old books that just, all right, now they're real again. You know, that's exciting. That's awesome. That's really cool that was able to be brought in too. What else was kind of something that they brought in from, you know, something old Star Wars from your guys' experiences that you were like, yes, I'm so glad that came back. Obviously Luke, but, you know, aside from Luke Skywalker.
Bring back in Ahsoka was such a big deal.
Good call.
That's the first time that Disney has directly stated, like, yeah, there are other Jedi that are alive during the original trilogy. Like, Ahsoka's alive that whole time. So it makes you wonder, like, what was she doing? And then what happens after that? Because obviously she's still alive after the Death Star is gone and in between episodes 6 and 7.
Right.
So, like, I've got so many questions. I'm really excited for that series coming up because I'm just curious to see where they're going to take her. Because obviously she's not in any of those big movies. But she's obviously alive, and she's a trained Jedi.
Correct. Yeah, very true. Very valid point. We're definitely going to talk about that here before we leave today. But any other Easter eggs before we jump on that bandwagon? All right, hearing none, then we're going to jump on this last major thoroughfare of topic. We've talked about Star Wars past. We've talked about Star Wars present. Now let's talk about it. Star Wars future. What are you most excited about with the upcoming series, whether it be animated or live action, in the Star Wars franchise? Now, Landon and I have talked about this a little bit previously. We've talked about how we're looking forward to the new Rogue Squadron movie in particular. But, you know, you can mention that. You can mention new Mandalorian season, the new Ahsoka show. You've got Bad Batch. You've got that Acolyte show. There's a lot of stuff coming in our direction. So, what are you most looking forward to in Star Wars future? Currently, like at this precise moment, I'm probably with Jeremy on this one. I'm really looking forward to the Ahsoka show. Like, I have very much attached myself to the hopes that Thrawn is going to become the major antagonist in that series, and that we're going to get to see a lot of Ahsoka versus Thrawn.
I will start my operations here. And pull the rebels apart piece by piece. They'll be the architects of their own destruction.
What about you, Jeremy? I mean, obviously you're excited perhaps about Ahsoka. Is it still that, or is it something else too?
Yeah, so I think I'm equally excited about the Obi-Wan Kenobi show that'll be coming out.
Yeah.
We don't know when yet, actually. But that is coming, and Obi-Wan has always been one of my favorite characters from both the prequel and the original series, just that, you know, the little cameo he makes basically at the beginning, setting Luke off. So I'm really excited to see what they're going to do with that, because it sounds very exciting.
Hello there.
It does. You're right. I'm looking forward to that, too. I forgot about that one, which is glad you brought it up. Yeah, good point. What about you, Landon?
Oh, I know we've talked about it before, but I'm still excited about Rogue Squadron.
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah.
I wish
they'd announce some new stuff.
I know. I'm excited about that, about more than anything. I do look forward to the Obi-Wan series and the Bad Batch. Like, that's another group that, you know, I don't know. We don't know a whole lot about. We know they're kind of considered defective clones, but that's really all we know about them.
Mm-hmm.
So I'm looking forward to that, too.
Yeah, if I'm not mistaken, the seventh season of Clone Wars opened up that Echo joined the Bad Batch, didn't he?
I think he did. I think he, like, joined them because he didn't really have a place in the Republic Army anymore.
Right. So I think that I would like to see if that's what they take, where they take that, you know, if they incorporate him and take that in a new direction, because I'm under the impression from the few things we've seen in the sizzles and everything that the Bad Batch are basically going to become kind of like the three clones that we see in Rebels, the guys that are, you know, bucking against Order 66 and basically rebelling against being servants of the Republic or Empire, which would be really intriguing with those particular characters to see. Good choice. Yeah. All right, Caitlin, you're up.
Okay. The one that I've always been excited about is probably the Obi-Wan Kenobi one, even though, like Jeremy said, we have no idea when it's coming out. I'm still excited about it. And the other one, I think The Mandalorian sort of got me, like, revved up for this one. It's The Book of Boba Fett.
Oh,
The Mandalorian left off on a good spot for that to just sort of pick up. So I think I'm excited about those two the most.
I'm really, I mentioned it earlier, I'm really looking forward to The Book of Boba. I'm hoping that that's going to, I really want to know how new canon Boba got out of the Sarlacc pit.
Exactly.
Like, that's what I really want to know.
I'm hoping that sort of answers that question.
Me too. Definitely. I'm hoping we get some flashbacks or something, which means Temuera Morrison's going to have to put a lot of work in, you know.
Yes.
As Landon calls him, Dad Bob Boba. but yeah, that's good stuff. Yeah. All right. Well, all right. So I'm going to ask this question. Simply because Landon and I were talking about this a few episodes ago, because one of our listeners brought it up, and it was Christopher Carlson. He sent us an email over right after Christmas, I believe, right before the end of the year, and he argued in his own words that he did not think Baby Yoda, or Grogu, was the cutest character in Star Wars.
Oh my gosh.
So, we're going to pose the question to the group. Let me use proper grammar. Who do you think is the cutest character in Star Wars? And we're talking all of Star Wars, and why? And I'll go ahead and throw Christopher Carlson's answer in there. Christopher Carlson voted that BB-8 was the cutest character in Star Wars. Particularly, I think, for the whole, you know, lighting the torch for the thumbs up kind of thing. If I remember his email correctly. So that's Christopher Carlson's answer based on his email. So, Caitlin, we're going to go ahead and let you rebuttal, since I think you were very vocal about him not agreeing that Baby Yoda was the winner.
I've already got the whole spiel in my brain right now.
Okay, go for it.
Okay. Baby Yoda, I would have to say, probably is the cutest. I feel like he's sort of overrated. The original, like the OG cute Star Wars, and a lot of people will probably come at me for this because I don't think anybody actually thinks they're cute, is the Ewoks. They're so cute. They have their own weird movie. Like, just...
There's two of them.
Exactly. Exactly. Like, Leia thought they were cute. They're cute. They're fuzzy. They're fuzzy little teddy bears that run around on a moon. A forest moon. Like, how can you say they're not cute? So, while Baby Yoda is cute, I feel like he's sort of... Everybody knows it, and I feel like the Ewok just doesn't get us enough attention. So yeah, gonna have to go with Ewok. He's the original.
Oh well, all right. The original cute is the Ewok. All right. Well, Jeremy, let's get your take on this.
I am going to agree with BB-8.
Okay, cool.
I think that Baby Yoda, Baby Yoda's like pug cute. It's so ugly, it's cute.
You know? That's awesome.
So
I love it.
But BB-8 is like kitten cute. You know, it's a different kind of cute. He's an adorable little character. I'm going to say he. I don't know. It's an adorable little character, provides some comedic relief through the episodes, serves its purpose perfectly, and I love playing it in Battlefront 2. So I'm going with BB-8.
Alrighty. Landon, what do you think on this?
I'm trying to think. Well, my vote for cutest Star Wars character is Padme, because, man, she's a hottie, but... If we're talking like
here. Oh no, you're allowed to go with that. That's fine.
But if we're talking like, I guess like cute in the traditional sense, I really like, what was that droid's name in the last Star Wars movie? Dio.
Dio. You're right.
I liked Dio. I liked that it said thank you. I did. I liked Dio.
Stranger. Oh, that's a good one. All right. And it's nice to hear, Rise of Skywalker get some love there. All right. Let's see. Oh, gosh. I've got to answer now. Oh, my gosh. I just had a, like, big realization moment, and it's not even related to the cute thing. The frog lady in Mandalorian, is she the same species as, like, the monks on Octo?
Ooh.
Oh, I think so. Maybe. I don't know.
I could see that.
I was going to say, you know, not necessarily that they're the cutest, but of course Porgs do get some recognition as being cute. You know, I still go back to the Porg that was like watching Chewbacca cook the Porg with the big eyes. That's definitely something that sticks in my mind as a rather cute moment. So since we're all trying to pick different characters, I'm going to go with the Porg. I'm going to give Last Jedi some love and say the Porg is one of the cuter characters in Star Wars. Though I completely agree and do not want to dissuade anyone from thinking that Ewoks are cute, because I used to be like a huge Ewok fan when I was younger, and I love BB-8. I think he's awesome, and Grogu was cute. When I think of cute Grogu or cute Baby Yoda, I think of the episode where Cara Dune and Mando are fighting.
Yes.
And Grogu's out there like sipping the soup.
Yes.
And just watching it calmly, like, let me know when you're done. You know, that kind of thing. That is the scene where I'm like, all right, that's like his cutest moment. And it's because it's just hilarious to see the absolute dichotomy of them, like, fighting on each other on the floor. And him just, like, almost like the parent watching two kids fight it out and just go, all right, well, yeah, this seems like a role reversed for me. But, yeah, so... I'm gonna go with the Porg. That's my response to the question. So, cutest Star Wars character. Thank you for that question there, Christopher Carlson. I hope you appreciate our willingness to take it a little bit further. Guys, this has been a lengthy episode. This is going to be a lot of fun to edit. It might take a month. But before we sign off, and I'm going to ask the hardest question of all, and I'm going to have Caitlin and Jeremy come up with the answer for that one. It's going to be, what flavor blue milk are we supposed to sign off with? But before we do that, what is there anything else like Star Wars related you got to get off your chest, or something else you want to throw in there before we sign off this evening? All right then. Well, I'm glad we were able to kind of jump in and discuss Star Wars past, present, and future. We're also able to divulge our cutest Star Wars characters. We had a lot of fun this evening. This was great. Thank you guys for coming on and joining Landon and me in our 50th celebration. We've been looking forward to this for quite a while now. We really wanted to kind of make it an opportunity to bring in a lot of different voices. So we're grateful we are willing to hop on with us.
Yeah, it's been fun.
Yeah, it's been great. Well, Landon, how's it feel to be 50 episodes old, man?
Oh, goodness. I don't know how to really put it into words. It's kind of cool to be at 50. I didn't think anybody would listen to me and you when we first started doing it. And, you know, to find out that we had over 200 downloads on our last episode is kind of cool. And, you know, it's just kind of humbling, you know, that people want to, you know, listen and interact and talk about Star Wars. You know, it's good. You know, Star Wars fans kind of get a bad name for being kind of a toxic fandom sometimes and being, you know, kind of negative. And it's good just to kind of, you know, speak positively about Star Wars and to speak, you know, positively about something that we all like.
Exactly. Yeah, I agree. Well said. Yep, that's it. That's why you're, you know, that's why I hired you, Landon.
Well, you know, that's why you keep me around.
That's why I keep you around. That's why we want to do a biography of you.
Aw.
No. I'm going to keep bringing that up for the next several episodes. We're going to do a deep dive into Landon Long. I mean, I'm sorry, Lando Fett. Lando Calrissian. There we go. I'll get it in. I'll get it right. You know. I agree. I think as I reflect on it, 50 episodes together or 50 episodes of Star Wars Ties has been so much fun. I can't really believe that we've already got 50 episodes done or will here, you know, in a few weeks. But it is very humbling to think that people actually listen to this. Because in all honesty, like you said, when I started this, Rob, and then got you on board pretty quickly afterwards, it was really just an opportunity to have a way to talk to people about Star Wars that I knew had the interest in Star Wars. And it's really, in all honesty, it was meant to also be a way to make book recommendations. You know, hey, if you like the Star Wars books, you should check out these, which we've been able to do with like the Han Solo trilogy and the Thrawn trilogy and stuff like that, which are frequent mentions in our podcast. But there's a reason for that. So that's definitely a perk. But I must say that it is truly humbling to have people actually like listen to the podcast and even respond, like with, you know, people sending us emails and stuff. So thank you, listeners, for sticking with us this long, and we certainly hope you'll continue to do so. And more importantly, thank you to Caitlin and Jeremy for joining us this evening and hanging out with us for well over an hour, just kind of sitting back and talking Star Wars. It's always nice to have some fresh voices on the show. And it's always nice to have some returning voices on the show. So thank you both for coming back and hanging out with us tonight.
Thanks for having me.
Yeah, it's been
welcome.
Good fun sitting here talking Star Wars.
Yeah, this has been good. This has been good. And I'm sure you're both very relieved that I didn't, you know, throw character personas on you and make you act out, you know, impromptu skit. But don't worry, that'll be the next episode, you know. Yeah. We'll come up with a really good skit, you know. But, all right, so now I've given you time to think about it. Caitlin and Jeremy, do we have a flavor of blue milk to close out our 50th episode with?
Oh, I think since we had to go over the cutest characters, that we're going to have to end it on some chalky milk, right?
Oh. I was thinking
good
chocolate milk as well.
Chocolate milk. I don't think we've ever done that flavor.
I don't think we have.
Chocolate milk? We've done a lot of variety of flavors, but I don't think we've ever done a chocolate milk flavor. That's a great call. All right. Well, listeners, thank you so much for hanging out with us this evening. Thank you so much for listening to Star Wars Ties as we've been able to do 50 episodes and counting. We look forward to checking in with you guys next episode. And until then, we hope that you will enjoy your cute factor chalky or chocolate milk flavored blue milk. May the force be with you. Bye-bye. It's exciting. And it'll probably be another 5 years before we get to 100, so...
We're doing 10 a year. That's okay.
Yeah, that's about right. In all honesty, it comes in spurts. I mean, I'm on a pretty good roll right now, but sometime around midsummer or early fall or maybe even before spring ends, I'll fizzle out and I'll have to be like, all right, I love doing it, but I can't edit anymore. 's see, you're doing video of gaming on what site now?
Yeah, so I started streaming on Twitch a couple weeks
Twitch,
ago.
Twitch, there you go.
Yeah.
Cool. What's your, how do the people find you on Twitch?
It's just twitch.tv/arkork.
not want to spell that. I can't spell that.
It's spelled A-R-K-O-R-K.
Okay. So, listeners, I'll be sure to include this in some point of the episode. If you want to check out Jeremy and his Twitch game streaming, then be sure to check him out there.
Yeah. And I do stream Star Wars content on there every once in a while, in the form of Battlefront 2, but that's been kind of on a side note, because Epic Games, or I bought it from, or got it from free for, through Epic Games, but you have to launch it through the Origin launcher, but neither of them really recognize that the game is being launched through Origin, so when you try to join a friend's game, you got about a 50% chance of it just refusing you.
Oh.
So when you're trying to get a group of like 7 or 8 guys together, there's a really good chance that half of your group can't join the match you're trying to join. So it's a little bit annoying.
Yeah, I can understand that.
He's even made our dad think about going into podcasting.
Oh, now that would be awesome.
Wouldn't it? I was texting Len and I was like, you should just get dad on one episode of the show so he can explain just how much Darth Maul is a wuss. He hates Darth Maul.
Oh, really? Yeah. Oh, man.
He likes Jar Jar.
He loves Jar Jar.
He likes Jar
Jar. Pretty funny, but Darth Maul's a wuss. And that's how the conversation gets started.
That's awesome. I'd love to have him on. It'd be interesting to have that conversation.
Yeah.
I mean, I like Jar Jar, but I also like Darth Maul.
Yeah, we had a discussion in a Hardee's once about that over breakfast. It was kind of fun. Like, come on, Dad. He was so cool, though. And then later on, he did this. He's like, nah, he died in the movie, and that's where he died with me. And I'm like, no, he came back. And he's like, no, he didn't. He never came back, and he only said 2 words. Jar Jar had more lines, and he did.
That's true, actually.
He asked me if Darth Maul really was alive, and I said, yeah, Dad, he is. And he goes, well, I haven't watched it. And I was like, okay, then he's dead.
Yeah, he said that to me, too.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was really just, like, taking the focus away from, like, the super powerful Jedi and putting it to more normal people. Like, it was a much more down-to-earth story.
Mm-hmm. It was.
Yeah. I feel like it didn't, like, switch all over the place. You know? Like, we followed
That's
through.
My biggest complaint about Rise of Skywalker.
Yes, there's so
I like Rise of Skywalker, but I feel like you never got to sit still and enjoy a moment with that movie.
Yes, there was just too many things going on at once.
Yeah, and there was no hope that it was ever going to end, you know? It was kind of like, my gosh, we just got on this planet, and now we have to go to 6 other planets? What? It was hard to keep up with. Oh, did I lose you?
I'm back now. I don't know what happened.
Oh, well, I didn't know you were gone. Are the others there?
I didn't either until I heard, like, dead air.
Dead air. Well, I still have all 4 people on the call. I think you just, you know, walked away and left us all to cry. That's not the email. Where is that email? There it is. Jeremy, Caitlin, how are y'all doing?
I'm good.
You're good?
I'm doing good.
You're doing good? Let's see. You're still in Cherokee?
Yeah, still teaching 3rd grade.
Are we still like podcasting heroes there?
Are we still what?
Are we still like pod? Do you still talk about the podcast and like? Do we still amaze people that you know guy that?
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
Landon, we're still famous.
Yes.
Yeah, I was just talking about it the other day with a teacher that came in from the middle school. He's like a behavioral guy, and he was like, I don't know if you guys have seen The Mandalorian. I was like, let me tell you about my whole life in Star Wars. They're like 20 minutes, and I was like, and my brother does this podcast with his friend, and I'm going to be on it. He's like, that's great, I'm going to go. And I'm like, okay, bye.
Aw, I was hoping to be like, yes, okay, what's the... My students are like all over it. And Landon, I don't know if you saw, but I got the email today for our last week's standings.
Uh-huh.
Podomatic, Podomatic alone within the last week. And I release an episode tomorrow morning. 254 downloads.
Oh my gosh.
So, I'm pretty...
That's pretty excited. Sweet.
Yeah, now only one play recorded, so not sure what that means. They all downloaded it, but nobody listened to it. Either that or the plays are like streaming online. I haven't figured
that
out.
Might be it.
Like, I haven't quite figured out how that works yet. But anyway, 254 downloads I'll take. And
yeah, we'll take that.
We should have a substantial number this coming week because I release a new episode tomorrow.
Landon just texted me and said my phone's being all weird.
Okay, I'm back now.
There he is.
Are you?
Here I am.
Are you?
Are you sure?
For the time being.
You had me panicking there for a minute. Like, nobody was talking. I was like, oh my gosh, did I lose everybody? Is it my computer?
That nutty Star Wars bar. Can you forget all the creatures in there? And hey, Darth Vader in that black and evil mask. Did he scare you as much as he scared me? Ah! Star Wars! Those here in Bar Wars! My seventh winner up here! Star Wars!
Yeah,